So we begin in Yitzhak Shem, the 8th Perek of Yuma. And for the meantime, we'll use this photocopy until everyone can get a copy of the Yuma. So the Mishnah says, Yom HaKippurim Asur Ba'achila U'Bishtia U'Berechitza U'Besicho V'Nila Sasandol U'Betash V'Shami.
Six.
We have six. So the first question we want to ask ourselves, and this is the question that the Rishonim here address at the very beginning of the Masechta, and that's the Rosh and the Ran. Are we dealing with Miksha Achas? Are we dealing with one entity? Can we divide up the Isurim here into two categories, or is it all one category? You know, when you read the Mishnah at first glance, you know, when that superficially you get the impression that it's all the same. It's sadna the arachadu. There's no difference here neither between achila, shesia, rechitza, sicha, nil, sasando, v'tash, shamit. They're all the same. That means they all have the same severity of isur. And what's the violation if a person eats on Yom Kippur? What? Remember we mentioned this earlier. What punishment does he get for that?
Karis.
Right. It's an isur karis. Now, we're going to see later on, if you turn to Amud Beis for a second, and you go down about, let's say, 10 lines, maybe 15 lines down from the top, there's a Braisa that's quoted, and the Braisa says, Afal Pisha Amru Asur Bekulam, even though the word Asur appears here in the opening line of the Mishnah, Yom Kippurim Asur, Bekulam with regard to all categories, all the cases, Lo Amru Enosh Kares, however, the violation of an Isur Kares only applies Ella Al HaOchel Vishose V'Ose Melacha Bilvat. That means, as far as our list is concerned, we'll leave the Isur Melacha out for a moment, all are excluded from the Isur Kares. The only two things, if you will, that are included in the Isur Kares are what? Achila and Shasia. So if I come back to my original question, the answer to which certainly is no. We're not dealing with one unit, one identical unit here, because one thing is crystal clear here from the Braisa, and to my knowledge nobody disagrees with this, that whereas Achila and Shasia engender Achiv Kares, that's not so for the rest of the list. The other afflictions, if you can call it that, would not engender Achiv Kares. Now, if Achil and Shasia engender Achiv Kares, then if I were to ask you the following question, are they Doraisa or Darabanan, what should be your almost gut reaction? I mean, there may be various exceptions to the rule, but 99.9 out of 100 cases of an Isa Kares, if I were to ask you whether we're dealing with the Doraisa or the Rabbanon, you're dealing with the Doraisa. The Rabbanon don't have the power to engender Achiv Kares, Lechora. I mean, again, every rule has its exception. There's a Sugi Krisus about Kares Midibri Sofrim, whatever that means. You know, the case of Pinchas with Kanon Pogimbo, of Bol Aramis. But again, I don't want to confuse you because it would confuse me too, and I'm already confused, so why should I confuse you? But generally speaking, Achiv Kares means Achiv Doraisa. But now that we've excluded the other categories of Inui from Kares, and that's clear in the Braisa, so the question now becomes, well, what? How do we categorize that bunch or that group of Isurim? And Evan, what would you say are the two possibilities here? If there's no Chiv Kares, then what are we left with?
Drabonin.
Either a Drabonin or a Doraisa without a Chiv Kares. Because keep in mind, Avi, not every single case of something which is a prohibition that doesn't have kares is ipso facto derabanan. You know, you can't jump from the absence of omitting kares all the way to a derabanan. There's a whole gap, there's a whole area in the middle, you know, the twilight zone in the middle, and that would be an Isur Doraisa without what? Without kares. That's fascinating, an Isur Doraisa without kares. So this is the discussion here in the Rush at great length, and the Ran at great length, at the very beginning of this parak. And basically, the answer, I think, lies in Rashi. Let's read Rashi carefully. Again, you have to turn to Amud Beis here to... I shouldn't say it Amud Beis, because it's really Amud Aleph, but in the photocopy, it's Amud Beis, the Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph. And we're going to look at the Rashi Dibra Maschil Shabbosam. Now, let me just show you where that Rashi is. If, you know, Rashi, of course, is on the right side, right column of the page. I don't know if in Steinsaltz it's that way, but at least in mine, here it is. And if you're counting up from the bottom of the page, you'll see that there are like 10 lines that are a little bit wider, and then it gets skinnier, you know, the thinner lines. So if you're in the thinner lines, the last Rashi there in the thin lines is Dibur HaMaskil Shabbosim. Let me give you just a little bit of a background to this Rashi. The Braisa that we just mentioned earlier, which is here smack in the middle of Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph, raises the question, how do we know the Inuyim? How do we know the categories of Inuy other than Achil and Shasir? In other words, the premise of the Gemara is, let me go back to the Torah itself. When the Torah here in Vayikra Perek Chav Gimel says, V'nisem es nafsho seichem, Chazal understood, and again, these are going to be the sugyas that Mirzchem will see later on, that V'nisem es nafsho seichem is a reference to Achil and Shasir. So therefore, the Braisa wants to know, what about the whole, the balance of this group, the other Inuyim, right? There are four others on the group. We have Rechitza, Sicha, Nilos, Sandal, Tashir, where are they derived from? And basically what this Braisa is going to postulate is that, although the words V'nisam es nafsho seichem, I grant you, refer to Achil and Shasir, but at the very beginning of that Pasuk, the Torah says, Shabbos, Shabboson, hu lachem. It should be a day of Shabboson. Shabboson means to desist from something. And perhaps the word Shabbos refers to desisting from malacha, in the same sense that Shabbos, with regard to the seventh day of the week, means desist from malacha. But then Shabboson is coming to include something else that we should be refraining from, some other mode of behavior that should be omitted on this day. And the Braisa is going to postulate that that extra word Shabboson is going to somehow teach us these other four categories. So if you look, you remember I told you that we want to get up to the two dots before the word gufa. So if you look right before the two dots, this is the very end of a very long Braisa with a long presentation. It says Talmud Lomar, how do we know? Minayim liyom ha-kipurim sha'asar v'chitza v'sicha v'nilasan tashmita. Talmud Lomar, Shabboson shvus. And Rashi will soon see he's going to put the emphasis on the word shvus. Because again, it could be the word Shabboson is referring to Achil and Shasir, or maybe it's referring to Yisra Malacha. We don't know what the word Shabboson is referring to. But the extra word shvus, in a sense the double language, is coming to include these four categories. And they're not included under V'nisam es nafsho seichem, but they're included under the word shvus. And here Rashi says something amazing. Rashi says that there's an absolute parallel between Shabbos and Yom HaKippur. What do I mean by an absolute parallel? You see, with regard to Shabbos, how many categories of prohibitions do we have? What's the magic number? 39. Correct? Lamentes Malachas. But truth be told, there are other categories of prohibitions that although you could call them malacha, but technically speaking, they're not a malacha. Or to use Rashi's lingo, it's not a malacha gemura. It's not a real, bona fide, complete malacha. And Rashi says that with regard to Malacha Shabbos, when we have these two categories, the first of which is a malacha gemura, the 39 categories of labor, and the second is a malacha she'ena gemura, the addition of a malacha she'ena gemura within the constellation of Yisur Shabbos is licensed by the word tishbos, or shvus, meaning the Torah points to the Rabbanan and says to the Chachamim, you are hereby licensed to expand the Yisurei Shabbos. So for example, if a person wants to climb a tree on Shabbos, he's enjoined from doing so because of the pasuk tishbos, which gives license to the Chachamim to create new categories of prohibitions that are not included under the Doraisa category of Malacha Gemura. And that's what Rashi calls Malach Shein Gemura. That's called Shvus. Has anybody here heard of that word Shvus? Are you familiar with it? Anyway, write down the word Shvus, either in your by pen or in your mark.
Isn't there a custom no Shvus but Mikdash, right?
Says Rashi that by comparison, there's going to be a concept of Shvus with regard to Inui on Yom HaKippurim. And basically what the Torah is telling us about Yisurei Yom HaKippurim is that we have the following three categories. We have the Isur Malacha under Shabboson. we have the Isra Achila and Shasiya on the Vi'i Nisan, and in between the Torah says this says Shabbos. Okay, so we start with Shabbos, then we have Vi'i Nisan as Nafshel Sechem, then we have Shabbos. Shabbos refers to Nisan Malachim. Vi'i Nisan as Nafshel Sechem refers to Achila and Shasiya, and then comes the word Shabbos. Shabboson, says Rashi, is parallel to Shabboson or Tishbos of Shabbos, which means Shmuz. Let's read the Rashi inside. Rashi says, Gavi Inu Iksiv, in the same pasuk of Inu, V'nisem, it says the following, Shabboson. What is that word Shabboson coming to teach me? Says Rashi, and this is, you know, if Rashi was a Rosh Hashiva, the next three lines of Rashi would be a sheer klali that he gave in front of hundreds of Talmidim as a Rosh Hashiva. He says, Ki hechi de Shabboson ha'omor l'shabbos. Just like the Torah gives a Shabboson halach and Shabbos. The Asmachu merely means they delegated, the Torah delegated. Asmachu Bei Rabbanan, the Torah delegated the Rabbanan with the authority to introduce Shar Malachos. What are these Shar Malachos? These Shar Malachos that are extended by the Rabbanan under the law of Shabboson are not Malachos Gemuros. By the way, where do we learn the 30, from whence do we derive the 39 Malachos?
Mishkan.
From Mishkan. Lo Hayu B'Mishkan. Shabboson is coming to include categories of work which were not done in the Mishkan, the Eina Malacha Gemura, and that's what we have in Shabbos. Says Rashi, the word Shabboson appears not only in the context of Shabbos, but also in the context of Yom HaKippurim. Hachinami, so too, Shabboson de Gabi Inui, the word Shabboson within the context of Inui, Dechsiv Shabboson, Shabboson hu lachem v'inisem, lahosif al Inui achila ushasiya ka'asim. What does the word Lahosif mean? A new category. Well, what impression do you get from this, Rashi? Are we dealing with the Doraisa or are we dealing with the Drabbanan? Again, let's see the parallel here. We start with Shabbos and we said that in Shabbos the Torah Asmachu Rabbanan gave smicha, gave delegated authority to the Rabbanan to expand Malacha to something called Malacha She'ena Gemuros, and to prohibit things which the source of which is really the Rabbanan. But again, where was the license granted? By the word Tishbos, by Shabboson. Says Rashi, the exact parallel, it's a mirror image we find in Yom Kippur, because the Torah, in addition to Minisim, which is Achil and Shasir, in addition to Shabbos, which is Isur Malach on Yom Kippur, the Torah also added the word Shabboson to give the Rabbanan rights to expand the prohibitions of Yom Kippur. So Rabbosai, I come back to my original question. In the case of Nilas HaSandal and Rechitza and Tashramita and so forth, are those excluded from Karetz but included under an Isur D'Oraisa, or are they rabbinically developed by the Chachamim? And what would be Rashi's answer to that question? They're clearly the Rabbanan. Because Rashi says that just like the Rabbanan in Shabbos expanded the Isurim, and those shvusim are the Rabbanan. So for example, if somebody would climb a tree on Shabbos, we'd certainly not give him malchus and certainly not karez. He's not violating any doraisa. So too, if a person violates the isur of nilas hasandal, rechitza, and so forth on Yom Kippur, he would not engender, not only is he exempt from karez, but moreover, he wouldn't even engender a chiyuv malchus because it's the Rabbanan nature of these isur. And the Rush says, I have a proof positive that Rashi is correct, that these Isurim are only the Rabbanan. Let's read the next line in the Mishnah, go back to the Mishnah. And the Mishnah says, HaMelech v'hakala yirchitzu es p'neim. That a kala for the first 30 days after a marriage is permitted to wash, and there's no Isur Chitz. A Melech is permitted to wash. Not only that, Chaya, that's a woman after birth for the first 30 days. Tinolas Asandal, she's allowed to wear
shoes.
And all this is Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. Now, says the Rush, if we're dealing with the Doraisa, right? You spoke about it.
Yeah,
how could we ask?
It must be an indication of
a Derabbana. How could it be that the Doraisa would be Mutter? Where we find that the Nisa Doraisa that's Mutter for Kala, for a Melech? You know, Melech is enjoined with all the Yisurim, just like we are, every rank and file citizen, about no exclusion, and Achaya. Later on, the Gemara is going to say that if somebody has Chatot in Barosho, Isach Kedarko. For health reasons, he's allowed to anoint his head, you know, to get rid of these Chatotim. We find all these Kuas. We don't find it with regard to Achil and Shasiyah. There's only one time, one category of cases where we can waive the Isra Achil and Shasiyah. What's that? The Cholesh Yishbo. Sakana. It's only a person whose health is on the, you know, his life is on the, it's on the line. Now, we're not talking about someone who's going to die. You know, a melech, if he doesn't wash his face, is not going to die. And even the case of Rechitza for a kala is not pikuach nefesh, because otherwise the chachamim would make no sense. And the case of a chaya for the first 30 days, not pikuach nefesh for her to wear shoes. Yeah, it's not the healthiest thing. You know, she's a, we call it in Yiddish, kippetur. I think it's a Polish word. I don't think it's a Yiddish word. But anyway, so for the first 30 days, you know, her, it's how it is.
Yeah.
So Rabotai says the Rosh, the bottom line is, we're dealing with derabbanan. And Rashi is the source for this, because Rashi says Asmachu be Rabbanon, and Rashi says Hachinami l'gav Yom Kippurim, and we fill in the blanks of Rashi Asmachu le Rabbanon. The Rabbanon through Shabboson could expand by engendering new categories of Isur. But what's included under Inui? When the Torah says V'nisa esnaf shel seichem only Achil and Shasim, and those engender Achiv Kares. Then we have an Isur Molacha, which is in the Chi of Kares, that's derived from Shabbos. And now we have a third category, which means the Chachamah license to engender new Isur. But Rabotai, let's open up the Rambam. And let's do an honest-to-goodness reading of the Rambam. I hate to push things into the Rambam that he doesn't say. I like to hear what the Rambam is saying. The Rambam dedicates the first five halachos of Hilchos Shvisas Asor to the mitzvah of Shvisa Mimalacha, which is one of the four mitzvahs that the Rambam incorporates into Shvisas Asur, Lishbos Bo Mimalacha. The Rambam tells us that in addition to the mitzvah Saseh, which engenders an Isur Malacha, there's also mitzvahs Lo Saseh. Fine. So we have an essay and a Lo Saseh. Fine. Let's fast forward to Halacha Dal. Says the Rambam, in addition to the mitzvah of Lishbos Bo Mimalacha, we have also another mitzvah, Lis'anos Bo. And the Rambam says, Mitzvah Seh Acheres Yesh B'Yom HaKippurim, V'hi Lishbos Bo Me'achila Ushasiya. Notice, until we get to Halacha Hey, the Rambam has not even alluded to the other four categories. He's just got Achila and Shasiyah. You might be tempted to think that the Rambam in Halacha Dalet is talking about Doraisa, and when he gets to Halacha Hey, he introduces Derabbanan, and that's probably the way the Rosh is going to read this Rambam. But I'm not sure that that's the way we're going to read the Rambam. Because if you take a look at the Rambam quotes the Pasuk of Inui in Halacha Dalet, and Inui means fasting. And the Rambam says that that's a halacha mipi hashmua, means it's a tradition that dates back to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. Fine, the Rambam then says that if you abstain from eating and drinking on Yom HaKippur, you makayim a mitzvah saseh, so you have a pile in your pocket, you get schar for that. And then the Rambam says, ha'ochel v'ashosebo, not only has he forfeited a mitzvah saseh, but he also fights a lo saseh, because the pasuk says, kol ha'nefesh ha'shal lo se'una v'yetzem ha'yom ha'zeh v'nichrisa. So lo se'una is a lo saseh. Fine. Then the Rambam tells us that if he violates achil and shasiyah v'shogeg, he didn't realize it was Yom Kippur, he's chayav akor. Fine. V'chein. Now I want to get to halacha hey. Just give me 1 minute, and we want to get to halacha hey, because that's the punchline. V'chein. Okay, now, the Rambam is about, he's on the verge of introducing the other four categories, the Sasandol, Tashmamita, Mechitza, Tzicha. What do you assume is inherent in the word V'chein? I mean, my Rebbe used to always hack this into our brains. Whenever the Rambam says the word V'chein, what is he trying to do?
Likewise,
he's creating an analogy. And therefore, if in Halacha Dalet he's presenting a Doraisa, we would think that in Halacha Hey V'chein, he's also presenting a Doraisa. Not only that, the Rambam goes on to say, "Lamadnu mipi hashmua." Mipi hashmua is halacha l'moshe misina. That's not the Rabbanon. In other words, the identical phrase which he used in halacha dalet to engender and formulate the Isra Achil and Shasiyah, mipi hashmua, he again employs in halacha hey, implying that they're both equal. Sha'asar lirchotz bo o lasuch o linos asandal o livol. And then here's my clincher. Look at the next line in the Rambam. The Rambam writes, U mitzvah lishbos mikol elu kiderech sheshoves meachila ushesia. I mean, he sounds like he's operating with an absolute equation. Shenemar, Shabbos Shabboson, Shabbos le'inyan achila, Shabboson le'inyan emelu. And he puts them all on the same level. Again, he's going to alleviate a person who violates one of these four categories from kares, but at least as far as the basic level of prohibition is concerned, is it a deraisa drabanan? The Rambam says that Shabbos Shabboson is Shabbos linyan achila, Shabboson linyan emelu. Because again, keep in mind that the Rambam in Halacha Daled tells us that if a person eats on Yom HaKippurim, he violates a mitzvah aseh, right? And he also violates a mitzvah los aseh. So that mitzvah aseh reflects itself here in the word Shabbos. The word Shabbos, the Rambam says, is referring to achila. And then Shabboson, he says, is referring to in Yonim Elu, the balance. And then he says, V'ein chayov in kares. So, Rabbosai, take a peek at the Kesef Mishnah, if you happen to have the Rambam. With the Kesef Mishnah, the Rambam, the Kesef Mishnah says, Kosova Rosh. This is the Kesef Mishnah here, Halacha Hey, all the way, if you have the Frankel edition of the Rambam, it's on the top left. You know, again, I don't know which edition. Yeah, you all seem to have the Frankel edition of the Rambam. So he says, Kosova Rosh, B'shem Ri, V'riva, Tahani Inuyim, Afal Gav, the Gemara Mafkile, Mikroi, even though the Gemara derives it from Psukim, as we saw the word Shabboson, Asmachta B'almanin. That's only an Asmachta. In other words, it's not really a full-fledged drasha, and we're not engendering an Isur D'oraisa in these four cases, but rather, it's the Rabbanan, but the Rabbanan found a smach, a peg to hang the hat on in the Torah. The Hevi Kama, Rayos L'Dovar, and he brought many proofs. He doesn't mention the Rashi that we saw. Umi high time, and that justifies Makilinbu. We find kulos with regard to these four. For example, Akala, and we have the Chaya, and we have the Melech, and we have Mishesh al Chatotin Barosho, etc., etc. Correct? So that's all what we see from the Rush and the Rivah and the Ram. So now, what I want you to do for a moment here is fast forward the Haran Hikshals, that's about halfway through the paragraph. The Kosef Sheniro Lo, it appears to the Ran, Shekulu Dekulu Midoraisa Ninu, that all the whole gamut, all six or five, whatever you want to call them, are Doraisa. And why is that? He doesn't say at this point. Ella Dekema Delav Bichlal Inui Dechsiv Bikrobehej. As the Torah says, V'nisem. And the Nisim includes Achil and Shasi, but not the other four. So they're not included under Inui. El Miribuye de Shabboson Asi. There's a ribuy in the pasuk. It's coming to the word Shabboson is coming to include some sort of expansionary rule. Is therefore Kili Tfe. Therefore, we can be more lenient with regard to these four. But again, please underline, at least in your mind, those words Kulo Midoraisa Ninu. According to the Ran, they're all Doraisa. This is an interesting phrase in the Ran, that although the Iser per se and all these four Isurim are Doraisa, that's their status, but nevertheless, exactly how to define when these Isurim apply and when they don't apply, what are the conditions after you met in order to violate these Isurim, that was left to who? To the Chachamim. And they were given license to come up with certain leniencies when they saw fit to do so, and therefore hitiru kol she'eino nasa l'tanug, if it's not done for the sake of pleasure, you know, it's done for health purposes or for the sake of the melech, the kovod ha-melech, the kiyum kovod ha-melech, they were matir it. Oh, now look at the next three words. V'chein das harambam. Oh, I became overnight a tremendous fan of the Kesef Mishnah. The Kesef Mishnah is 100% right. V'chein das harambam, meaning the Rambam doesn't belong to the first school of thought. namely that of the Rosh and the Riva, but rather to the second school of thought, that of the Ran. The Kulu Midaraisa Ninu, the whole gamut, they're all Doraisa. And then he asks a kasha. Okay, his kasha is very complicated. It belongs to the sugi that I mentioned earlier today of Chinuch, how we educate them, and are we allowed to do Rechitza for the sake of a child, and so forth and so on. Good. Anyway, it seems that the Kesef Mishnah learned the way we did the Rambam, and all the Inuyim are Doraisa. Ah, you'll ask me the kasha, so how can we be Mekil for the sake of a Melech, and a Chaya, and a Kala, and Mishay Shulchot? The answer is, Hakosuv Masran Lechachom. Now here I want to raise the following question. In the back of the Frankel edition to the Rambam, there's something called Yalkut Shinui Nuschos. And in this Yalkut Shinui Nuschos, he tells you that in the old manuscripts, there's a one-word change in the text of the Rambam, which I found fascinating. Now, in our Rambam, it says the following in Halacha Hey. It says Shenemar Shabbos Shabboson, and then it says Shabbos Le'inyan. What's the next word? Achila. In the old manuscripts of the Rambam, instead of the word Achila, it says Melacha. So we read it this way: Shabbos Shabboson, says the Rambam, Shabbos Le'inyan Melacha. The Shabboson Linyonim Elu means V'nisan Es Nafshoch Seichem is going to teach me Achila and Shasia. That's fine. What does the word Shabbos teach me? Malach, according to this Gerson in the Rambam. And Shabboson teaches me the last four Inuyim. It's a little bit odd, this text in the Rambam. You know, we might say that we would prefer the text in the Rambam as we have it here, in the way they printed the Rambam in the Frankel edition, because it makes sense to go from Shabbos Achila to Shabboson Le'inyan, the rest of the Inuyim, because they all fit into this category of afflictions. But to go from Shabbos Le'inyan Melacha and combine that with Le'inyan Shar HaInuyim, it's like funny, you know, you're skipping Achil and Shasiyah in here, you're going from Melacha to Inuy, it's like Min V'Sheino Min. But in any event, I want to ask the following question. This is really what bothers my mind. Where do we find a precedent to this concept that you can have an Isur D'Oraisa with various leniencies and conditions and stipulations because the Chachomim were granted, shall we say, license to manipulate those Isurim? You know, it becomes like silly putty in the hands of the Chachomim. They can tell you when you violate the Isur and when you don't violate the Isur. At the end of the day, you're dealing with a Doraisa. Doraisa is absolute. Mitch, do you want to say something?
No, I think we had a similar discussion with Muktzah, according to people who said Muktzah was made already.
Excellent, good Muktzah. But what else? Like, even before we get to Muktzah.
Well, there were guys on things like what do you call it, Shofar, but you're Rosh Hashanah and Shabbos.
Correct, but those I think come under Gzeiros. But where do you find a Din Doraisa? I wouldn't say that, Shabbos, you know, if you blow a shofar on Shabbos, I wouldn't say you violated Doraisa.
No, but where do they have a right to be able to say Shabbos?
Yeah. What is an area of halacha where the Rabbanim were given license to tell me when you're allowed to do this and when you're not allowed to do this? Chol HaMoed. Let's take Chol HaMoed. The Rambam says in Hilchus Yontif, if you have the Rambam here, maybe we'll see if we can find it. In Hilchus Yontif, you have to turn, I think, backwards, if I remember correctly.
It's forward.
And let's see if I can find this thing. When the Rambam talks about Chol HaMoed, in Perek Zion, maybe somebody will find it for me so that we don't... Yeah, where is it? Perek Zion?
Perek Zion.
First off, says the Rambam, Cholo Shomoed, Afal Pishlo Nemar Bo Shabboson, but Hoil V'Nikra Mikra Kodesh. Notice the phrase Mikra Kodesh refers to all 7 days of Yontif, including Cholo Moed, is therefore And then the rabbi adds something about chagiga, which is kodshim, but he says, asur basias malacha. Now, wait a second. Does that indicate a doraisa or a derabbanan? If he says, hoil v'nikra mikra kodesh, he's quoting a pasuk in Chumash. It sounds like doraisa. But then look at the next line in the Rambam. The Rambam says, "Aser vasiyas malacha, kidei shelo yiyeh kishar yimei achol, she'ein bahem kedusha klal." The reason for the Iser malacha is because the Torah calls it a day of kedusha, mikra kodesh. And if you were to do malacha, if you would engage and occupy yourself with work, with labor on this day, it would be exactly like a day of chol. So how do you set up this day as a day of kodesh? And the answer is by enjoining yourself from malacha. But then the Rambam says, va'osa bo malacha hasura, makin oso makas mardus. Well, makas mardus is only the rabbanon. So wait a minute, pasach v'bikra. He starts with the pasach v'bikra kodesh, and he ends with makas mardus. And then only that, he says with neshi suro mi divrei sofrim. Okay, that phrase mi divrei sofrim, I'll have you know, is the hottest phrase in all of Mishnah Torah and the Rambam. Nobody to this day knows what the Rambam means by mi divrei sofrim. The Rambam writes at the beginning of Hilchos Ishus that kiddushei kesef is mi divrei sofrim. The Rambam holds that Tumas, you know, in Hilchos Tumas Mes, he holds that Masa is Midivrei Sofrim. I mean, whatever. Basically, Midivrei Sofrim is one of those ambiguous phrases in the Rambam that we'll never ever understand. And the all the scholars will write 50-page articles on what the Rambam means by Midivrei Sofrim. But in any event, the Rambam is clearly indicating that Malach on Chol HaMoed does not have the identical status as Malach on Yom Tov itself. But on the other end, the Rambam quotes the Pasuk Mikra Kodesh.
Yeah, but he clearly says that the reason for it is,
excellent,
says it shouldn't be misalzo.
Right. Shelo yehei kishar yimei achol.
The Torah doesn't give you reasons for why he does anything.
Excellent. Beautiful.
It's the Rabbanan.
You took the words out of my mouth. What I wanted to suggest is the following, that there are two categories of malacha that the halacha recognizes. One category of malacha is the Torah prohibits malacha, period. The mice of malacha is asur, and that's it. That's the beginning, the middle, and the end. Sometimes the Torah prohibits malacha because the Torah wants to accomplish a goal. In a certain sense, restraining or refraining from malacha is a means to an end. Well, I don't know about Menucha, but the Rambam says Mikrei Kodesh. The Torah is commanding us to take these days of what we call Moed, right? And the Mishnah says in Avos that somebody who's Machalas Amodos is like he loses his share, whatever, very severe. To take this Moed and turn it into what? Mikrei Kodesh. Mikrei Kodesh, making it to the day of Kedusha. So it means that the Iser Malach is not prohibited per se. The Maisa Malach is not in and of itself awesome. The Maisa Malach is awesome because it upsets and undermines the nature of the day. The nature of the day has to be a day of Kedusha. The way that we're going to create a day which is Kodesh is by abstaining from Malach. Yeah, but tell me something. The Torah says Mikrei Kodesh, so we have to determine and establish the character of the day, the complexion of the day is the day of Kedusha. So what malach am I enjoined from? What malach am I allowed to do, and what malach am I not allowed to do? How many categories, I'm hinting, how many categories of malach are we allowed to, permitted to engage in on a Chol HaMoed? Right? You see my hand. Five. Right? There are five categories. There's Letzach HaMoed, and there's Mishum Hefseid, and there's Dover Avud, and all the different categories. For that, you have to learn Masech the Moed Kod. Who determines? Who has the authority to tell me what is considered a Malach Asura on Chol HaMoed, such that I have to enjoy, I have to reflect on the day and impact on the day, and make it into what? Okay. Transform it into a Mikrei Kodesh and Dev Kedusha. And what malachas can I do, can I engage in, without forfeiting the complexion of the day as the day of Kedusha? The Chachom. The Chachomim are given the license to determine which malacha is prohibited on Chol HaMoed and which malacha is permissible on Chol HaMoed.
Because of Lo Sasur.
Whatever it is, because the Torah says Mikrei Kodesh, and we don't know what Mikrei Kodesh means. The Torah uses this all-inclusive, ambiguous term the specifics of which are going to be defined by the Chachamim. It's very fascinating that sometimes the Torah decides to grant license and authority to the Chachamim to, in a sense, to be the sculpt, you know, to be the designers of how to achieve a certain goal. When Malach is Asr per se, that's it. There's nothing to talk about. Talk about Dover Ovid from now till doomsday, it's not going to help you. But when the Malach is not prohibited per se, but only in order to create and transform the day into Mikroi Kodesh, then the Chacham can step in and they can tell me exactly what conditions have to be met in order to achieve Mikroi Kodesh and what conditions are met in order to violate Mikroi Kodesh. Rabosa, I'm thinking out loud that if that be the case, maybe we could go back to the Rambam in Hilchos Shvisas Osor and talk a little about Yom HaKippurim. Yom HaKippurim, says the Rambam, based on the Pasuk, Shabboson, is Osur not only Le'inyin Achila, but also Le'inyin, all these five categories of Inui, which we spelled out here. But again, they're not included under V'nisim, because V'nisim, says the Rambam, in Alokhatal, refers to Achila and Shasiya. But they are Do'oraisa, as we saw in the Kesef Mishnah, Kula Do'oraisa Ninu, even though it's not included under V'nisim. But it is derived from the Pasuk Shabboson. And here we have Halacha, says the Ran, that even though these Yisurim are Do'oraisa, we're going to be making, we're going to be lenient in certain cases when it's not a, when it's not a Derech Tanug, when it's not done for pleasure, like in the case that we discussed before, the Kala and the Chaya and the Melech. Says the Ran, Umasran HaKosuv L'Chachamim, the same exact concept that we saw in Chol HaMoed, that the Torah envisioned, in a very ambiguous or general sense, Shabboson. We have to convert Yom HaKippurim into a day of Shabboson, and not just Shabbos, but Shabboson. And now, perhaps we understand what the Rambam means according to that text, that girsa in the Rambam, Shabbos le'inyan molacha, v'shabboson le'inyanim elu. What's the equation we ask between molacha and these categories of inui? Where do we find a common denominator? The answer is that just like in molacha, we have situations in which the definition of the molacha and the operation and the details and the conditions thereof are given over to the Chachamim, and that we saw in the case of Chol HaMoed, where molacha and Chol HaMoed is derived from Mikrei Kodesh and it's Doraisa, yet the Chachamim are authorized to tell me when and how I violate these, or when I'm allowed to do this molacha. So too says the Rambam, Shabbos on L'nyanim Elu, the Torah with regard to the Shar Inuyim gave a very, very generic, ambiguous term of Shabbos on. Shabbos on means abstain. Abstain from what? Ah, the Chachom are going to tell you what you have to abstain from. How do you achieve the experience of Shabbos on? The Torah doesn't tell you. But the Torah gives it up to who? To the Chacham, and the Chacham Yisrael will determine how to achieve this kiyum of Shabboson as far as those inuyim beyond Achil and Shasiyah. Okay, Rabbosai, if there are no questions, we'll go on. I mean, let's go through the sugya itself. Yes, yeah, please.
If you look at the beginning of the Dalet, the Rambam already tells you the whole inyan there. Because yeah, who needs him to say Shabbos at the beginning? If at the beginning they think he's talking about Inui.
Right.
So who needed him to say Shabbos? He said Shabbos to tell you that the category is going to include all the others at that time. Right. And the initial one is Inui, which is spelled out. The others are not spelled out. But they all fall under the same category. Because
they're all Doraisa.
That's all the Doraisa, and it's all under Shabbos.
Right. Excellent. So let's take a look at the Gemara. The Gemara says the following. Asur. What does it mean, Yom HaKippurim Asur? The word Asur is not strong enough of a language, says the Gemara, when we're dealing with an Isur Kares. Anush Karesu. So why does the Mishnah use the word Asur? And again, the Gemara is not sensitive to the fact that four out of the six mentioned, you know, pu'ulos that are mentioned here in this Mishnah certainly don't engender a chiyuv kares, And maybe the Tana, the Mishnah, wanted to use a generic term like asa that would apply to all these categories. It should have said chayav. Chayav means that you chayav karis. Asur means that you're prohibited, but there's no punishment. And why do you choose that term when there's a chiyuv kares for achil and shasir, which is written in the pasuk? The pasuk says, "Nefesh hashel lo seuna v'nichrasa me'amel." So the Gemara says the following: "Omer av ilo v'item rav yirmiya lo nitzricha ela lechatzi shir." So this is the famous sugya of chatzi shir. So in other words, the Mishnah wants to tell you that if you eat less than a shear of kikoseves hagasa, which we'll see what the shear is, some sort of fat date, you know, that has even the volume of the pit is included, or if you drink mole lugmav, so you chayev. But what if you drink half of a mole lugmav? What if you drink what if you eat half of a kikoseves hagasa? That's called chatzi shear. Now, we haven't yet approached Chatzi Shir as far as all Isuri Torah, as far as Nevelus and Trefus, etc., etc. But even if I grant you that Bishari Suri Torah, Chatzi Shir is Mutter, so it could be that with regard to Yom Kippur, the Gemara is absolutely convinced that Chatzi Shir is awesome. Why would I suggest that Chatzi Shir, although it might be mutter in other Yisurim universally, but would nevertheless certainly be usur with regard to Yom Kippur?
Because of the punishment?
Maybe because of the Chumrah, because of the Chumrah Sa'avera. So I don't know. It could be at this point the Gemara is not ready to introduce Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish is the famous Shita that Chatzi Shir is mutter min HaTorah. Because the Gemara may be thinking perhaps Reish Lakish would be modeh, that in the case of Yom Kippur, certainly because the Chumras Avera, even a Chatzi Shir was also in a Torah. But be that as it may, the Gemara is now suggesting that the word Asur here in our Mishnah, in the opening line of our Mishnah, is referring to a case of Chatzi Shir. And now the Gemara is going to introduce the machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. So I want to share with you an insight of the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon says the following, that he believes that there's a logical reason for a Shlokish, who holds in general and universal, only assume that Chatzi Shir Mutter Min HaTorah, to confess, to admit, that in Yom Kippur Chatzi Shir should be Asur Min HaTorah. Not because of the Chumras HaAveira, but for an entirely different reason. And in order to appreciate this, the Gaon asks the following question. The Gaon wants to know, why is it that with regard to Yom Kippur, the shear for the Isur Achila is different than it is in Shaar Isurim? With regard to every single Isur, whether it's Nevela, Trefesh, Gatzin, Ramatzin, with regard to the Isur Truma, Lazar, whatever Isur you'll come up with, Basar B'Cholov, and Yayin Nesach, it's always going to be the same shear. In the case of Ochlin, it's going to be what? Kizayas. In the case of Shmashkim, it's going to be Revis. Here, with regard to Yom Kippur, we have a whole different story. Says the Gaon, it's a very fundamental, mind-boggling concept.
It's a higher shear.
Yeah, it's a larger shear. It's a larger volume.
More makel.
More makel. Why? Yeah. Why should we be more makel on Yom Kippur? So the Gaon, in order to explain this, introduces a Gemara later on in Daf Ayin Ches. The Gemara calls Yisuve Daite, which is Aramaic for Yishuv HaDat. Okay, what does Yishuv HaDat mean? Yishuv HaDat means when a person is fasting, he's totally upset, you know, he feels the emptiness, you know, he can't focus. His whole psychological state is afflicted, you know. Says the Gaon, Kizayis is not enough to bring a person to a state of Yisuve Daite. What the Torah wants is Inui. And what the Torah doesn't want, the flip side of Inui, is Yisuve Daite, Yishuv Hadas. That's the prohibition. Because Yishuv Hadas will be mafkir, will undermine the state of Inui. A person has to be V'nisem Esnafshal Seichem. He's got to be afflicted. Kizayis says the Gaon, the Vilna Gaon, and again, I've never said this in a million years, but this is the Gaon. The Gaon says that a Kizayis is not enough to upset or undermine the state of Inu. For that, you have to get to Yishuv Adas, to Yishuv Eidaita. And for that, you need to go an extra mile, so to speak, an extra little. And the difference between Kizayis and Kikoseva Sagasa is the difference between a Maisa Achila and a Maisa Achila, which ends up with Yishuv Eidaita. That increment, that extra mile that you have to go, right? Whatever it is, we'll talk about volumes in Rosh Hashanah as we go along with the sugya of Shiurim. But that extra volume of Ochlin, or in the case of Shasi of Mashkin, is going to take you over the threshold from a Maisa Achila, Maisa Shtia, all the way to Yisuvei Daite. Says the Gaon. But you know what? There's another fundamental difference between Achila and Yisuvei Daite, but in this case it goes L'chumra, not L'kul. Says the Gaon, Achila is an all or nothing proposition. It's either 0 or 100. Either you are engaged in an Achila or you're not engaged in Achila. Less than Kizayis is not an Achila. Ke'end it, finito. It's not an Achila, and therefore it's mutar min haTorah according to Reish Lakish. With regard to Yisuvei Daite, says the Gaon, there is a development, there's a process, there's a stage after stage until you finally finish and reach Yisuvei Daite. But it goes through stages. Says the Gaon, even Reish Lakish, who maintains that Chatzi Shir Mutar Min HaTorah, that's only when the requirement of the prohibition is a Maisa Achila. If you eat less than a Kizayis, that's not called, doesn't constitute a Maisa Achila. But with regard to Yisuvei Daita of Yom Kippur, where the Shir is a different Shir, even Reish Lakish would agree that to some extent, albeit partially, there is a Yisuvei Daita even with less than a Shir. It calms you down, says the Gaon, to some extent. And the Gaon quotes Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi in the sixth parak of Trumos says that Reish Lakish Modeh B'Yom HaKippurim Shechatzi Shir Osim V'Nei Torah. Says the Gaon, you know why? Why does Yerushalmi insist that even Reish Lakish, who is Matir Chatzi Shir elsewhere, agrees that in Yom HaKippurim Chatzi Shir is Osir? Because there's at least a partial state of Yisuvei Daita. It's not a complete Yisuvei Daita, but you're on the way. You don't feel as badly as you did before you took half of a Koseva Sagas. According to the Gaon, I'm just thinking out loud, and everything I tell you now could be absolute nonsense. Totally a figment of Berzon's imagination. Okay. And you know my style, I've done it before, so this is not the first time I'm gonna try to pawn off on you my crazy thoughts. There's a machlokus in the Gemara. When you eat macholos asuris, are you chayef hanos goron or hanos me'ayin? For example, let's say I chew something but I spit it out. So there's a machlokus whether I'm chayef. According to one day, achila means hanos me'ayin. According to the other day, no, hanos goron, I'm chewing it, you know, I feel it in my taste buds, in my mouth, my palate, and even if at some point, you know, I'm able to regurgitate it, nevertheless I violate the Isra Achila, and that would be true for all macholos asuros. I'm wondering, in the light of this Gaon, what would be the deal in hanos goron on Yom HaKippurim? And the answer, I think, would depend upon the following question. Is there Yisuvei Daite through Hanos Goron? If you're saying, on the contrary, it's just going to tempt you more, it's going to intensify your affliction, because at the end of the day, you spit it out, and it didn't go into your belly. There's no satiation whatsoever. Then I would say, that Kuliyamalo Pligi on Yom HaKippurim, that you need Hanos Me'ayim. If on the other hand somebody would argue, which I find difficult, but I don't know the psychology of it, that Hanas Goron is enough to create some sort of partial measure of Yishuv Adas and Yisuvei Daita, then maybe everybody should agree on Yom HaKippurim that all you need is Hanas Goron. But what I'm suggesting is the following, that the machlokas that Hanas Goron and Aras Me'ayim reflects the universal definition of Achila. What is Achila? Achila means I take it into my mouth and I chew it? Or Achila means I swallow it and it's in my small intestine? Well, what is it? But with regard to Yom HaKippurim, we have a whole different standard of what should be prohibited. I'll give you another example. The Gemara says in Pesach, I'm just thinking, you know, it just jumped into my head as I'm speaking, that there's something called an achila shelo kedarka, that's an unusual kind of achila. Like, for example, the Gemara says if you take chilev and you heat it up and you drink it when it's very, very hot, so Gemara says you pot. What would be on Yom HaKippurim? I'm not sure if you need kedarka or shelo kedarka. Maybe kedarka or shelo kedarka are categories that apply to a maisa achila, but they don't apply to yisuvei daite. With regard to yisuvei daite, if at the end of the day I feel a sense of satiation, or for example the Gemara says I ate something that's, you know, it's fit for animal consumption, it's royal achilas kelev, but it's not royal achilas adam, the Gemara says in all yisuvei Torah you potter. I'm not sure if I decide that I'm so hungry that I'll eat something that you and I would normally not eat, but because I'm willing to eat a stale piece of bread, it's hard like a rock, but it'll help me in yisuvei daita on Yom HaKippur. You know, people are very desperate on Yom HaKippur.
But you should.
What is
no? That, would that impact on that, all the heterom to the person needs intro? Is getting
correct? Correct. Maybe there should be problems if the intravenous feeding would lead to some sort of state of, I don't know the chemistry or the physics of it, but if it would lead you to a state of yisuvei daite, which I doubt it, but if it would, maybe. But you know what? Let me point something out to you. Well, just one second. You made a good point about intravenous feeding.
Anybody on intravenous is putter.
Yeah, that's true. He's a chola. He should be eating. I don't know. Forget about intravenous. Yeah. But if he can't eat, let me ask you a different question. What happens, according to the Gaon, if I start eating a minute before Shkia on the 9th of Tishrei, and I finish my achila, the last bit of the koseves agasa, I swallow on Yom Kippur itself? Right? No, but what I'm asking is, did I violate Yom HaKippur? Well, according to the Gaon, what is the nature of the violation of Yom HaKippur? It's not the maisa achila, it's what? Yisuvei daite. No, when did I achieve the yisuvei daite? Because I need a full-fledged yisuvei daite of koseves agasa. When did I clinch my yisuvei daite? On Yom Kippur. Maybe I should be chayev. So that's ridiculous. That's absolutely wrong. Don't fetish. Why? Because you need an achila. The Gaon is not telling you that through intravenous feeding, which is not an achila at all, I would be chayev for yisuvei daite. There's no separate iser of yisuvei daite. What the Gaon is telling me is that my normal barometer or standard measure of achila is not sufficient on Yom Kippur. I have to expand, I have to up the ante in order to clinch that extra increment of yisuvei daite, so I need kikosevis agasa. But the Gaon is not saying that you don't need achila. The Isra on Yom HaKippur is an Isra Achila, is an Isra Shtir. So that's why I say to Yehuda, intravenous feeding would be like my case before, where he starts his Achila Mibod Yom when it's Mutter, and he completes his Achila of Koseves Agas on Yom Kippur. Certainly the Gaon would say that he's exempt, he's alleviated from violation, because there was no Achila of Isra. The Isra of Achila is Yom HaKippur. Did anybody here in the room ever hear, yeah, two different spellings, of the Shoel Umeshiv?
Yes.
Do you remember where he lived? So we know we're talking about the same person?
He was Hoffman.
No, that's someone else. That's a German Jew, you know. I'm going back a century before Hoffman. The Shoel Umeshiv was the Rav in Lvov. Lvov was an Ir V'Ein B'Yisrael, and he wrote thousands of tshuvas called the Shoel Umeshiv. I happen to be a proud owner of the Shoel Umeshiv. It's four volumes, maybe even more. Shoel Umeshiv, and the Shoel Umeshiv says the following. The Shoel Umeshiv says, I don't know if he knew about the Gaon or he didn't know about the Gaon. This Gaon, I mean, he says that. You know what the Yerushalmi means when it says that Reish Lakish is Moda, that Chatzi Shir is awesome in HaTorah? He says that's only if you ate a Kezias on Yom HaKippur. Since you ate a Kezias, which fulfills the standard of Achila and Kol HaTorah Kula, you didn't go the full 9 yards, the increment from Kizayis to Kosev Sagasa, there the Yushalmi says the Reish Lakish is more than it's awesome in a Torah. Because at least you violated the Achila. You know, what I gain from this, I come back to my original point, that even if, as the Gaon says, the ultimate goal of violating Shabbos, Yom Kippur through Achila is Yisuvei Daite, but Bamed Varamur, that's conditioned on the fact that he implemented an Achila. You know, Achila is the basic Yisur. You could add to the Achila an extra piece, you know, that Tosefis, and you have to come to Yisuvei Daita. And that's why the Sholem Eishiv says that, you know why Reish Lakish, see, there's an afkamina between the Gaon and the Sholem Eishiv. The Sholem Eishiv, the Gaon would say that even if you eat a half a Zayas on Yom Kippur, according to Reish Lakish, you violate an Issur Torah, because that half a Zayas gives you some measure of Yisuvei Daita, because it's incremental. According to Sholem Eishiv, when does Reish Lakish agree that Chatzis Shir is awesome in a Torah on Yom Kippur? Only if you ate how much? A full Kizayis. That's going to be the Nafkimi. So I'm just thinking to myself, what would be, according to the Sholem Eishiv, let me convert it into numbers. Let's say that the number 5 represents a Kizayis, and the number 6 represents a Kosevis Hagas. Correct? What happens, according to the Sholem Eishiv, let's go according to the Gaon, even better. According to the Gaon, let's say I ate 1 on Erev Yom HaKippur, and now the sun sets and I eat 5. So, sum total, I ate a Kosevis Hagasa. But what did I have on Yom Kippur? Only 5 out of 6. And according to the Gaon, I need an Achila Surah, which lends itself to Yisuvei Daite, correct? And why is Reish Lakish Modeh that Chatzishir is awesome in a Torah and Yom HaKippurim, says the Gaon, because even a Chatzishir will give me some sort of Yisuvei Daite. But then we said that even the Gaon would agree that you need an Achila Surah. So if your Yisuvei Daite was a combination of A plus B, of an Achila HaMuteres, because it was Erev Yom Kippur, and an Achila Asura, so you never had an Achila Asura, and therefore you can't be Chayef for Yisuvei Daita, even though the clincher of Yisuvei Daita took place on Yom Kippur. But what happens if I only ate 1, the equivalent of 1 unit of volume on Erev Yom Kippur, and now I eat the other 5 units on Yom Kippur itself, those 5 units would constitute an Achila Kol Tarkula. So I have an Achila Asura. And on top of that, that Achila Surah brought me to the state of Yisuvei Daite. Then maybe I'd be Chayev. I'd be Chayev Kares for that. Because again, according to the Gaon, I need 2 conditions to be met. Number 1, Achila, which has to be an Achila Surah. And number 2, I need Yisuvei Daite. If my Achila began on Erev Yom HaKippurim, I'm lacking an Achila Surah, but that's only if I had a full Achila of a Kizayis worth on Erev Yom Kippur. Here I only had an Achila of that increment between a Kizayis and a Kosevis Hagas. So in that case, maybe if I ate 1 out of 6 units on Erev Yom Kippur, the other 5 units which constitute a Kizayis on Yom Kippur, and I achieved my state of Yisuvei Daita, I'd be Chayev in that case. That would be a case where I began on Yom Kippur, Erev Yom Kippur.
That would be very hard to say in the comments said that, because then we'd be losing everything in the Shiurim, because, you know, somebody who ate 2 Kizayis, who ate to number 2 before Yom Kippur, somebody had 3 before Yom Kippur, everybody would have a different shear.
Right, it all depends on what he did. I'm not changing it from person to person. It's, the rules will apply universally to every person. Again, the case will change depending upon what you ate on Erev Yom Kippur, but I'm just saying, if you had an Achila on Yom Kippur, which is an Achila Asur, of how much? A Kizayis. And through that Achila, you achieved Yisuvei Daite, is according to the Gaon. Reish Lakish would say that is exactly what the Torah prohibited on Yom Kippur. The only reason you needed Kosevis Hagasa is because the Kizayis itself would not achieve for you Yisuvei Daite. But in this scenario, where the Kizayis that I ate on Yom Kippur would achieve Yisuvei Daite, according to Reish Lakish, I should be Chayef. That's my point.
The thing I don't understand of what you're saying, and maybe you can clarify this for me if you want, is where's the Gaon holding about? Because it seems to me the whole problem here is, are you reversing the din of Inui? Are you because right. It says Vinisim is not so
the opposite of Inui.
And if you do the opposite of Inui, that's when you're Chayev on Yom Kippur. So where is he holding where is he holding Inui? Is Inui is more than the halt of a savata, or is it less than the halt of a savata? And where is this point? What sounds like what you're saying is it's more that Inui starts before the halt of a savata, so that even less than a kinesavia, you're already achieved the state of Inui. That.
Right.
That seems counterintuitive, at least to me. It would seem to me that.
So, you know what, Alan? Let's talk about this after the show. I want to let you go. I just want to tell you what we're going to do tomorrow, which tomorrow means actually Monday, I guess, in this case. And you'll let me know. Again, I'm not announcing a shiur, but you'll let me know if you're interested in doing any vikiyas here to fill in and which days will work out. But what I want to tell you that I'd like you to do and look at is a Rashi here, a fascinating Rashi on of Ayin Dalet Omen Aleph. Rashi wants to know, and you'll have to work on this hard, whether Mushba V'Omeid Mehar Sinai applies to an Issur Derabbanan. For example, let's say Reish Lakish agrees that Chatzi Shir Osur Midrabbanan.
Right.
And a person takes a Shvua that he won't eat Chatzi Shir of Nevela. And normally we have a principle of Ein Shvua Chal Shvua, Yemushba V'Yom Mehar Sinai, right? The parasha in the, you'll take a look in Dvarim Chav Zayin, the parasha of Shvua, that we all took a Shvua at Har Sinai. So we're not allowed to eat on Yom Kippur. Now he goes in and he takes a Shvua that he won't eat on Yom Kippur. So he added to himself the Isur of Chatzi Shir, which is Mutam in the Torah according to Reish Lakish. And the Gemara thinks that if Reish Lakish agrees that Chatzi Shir Kol Panim is Asur Min Rabbanan, then we still should apply the rule of Mushba V'Omid Mehar Sinai. Why? Says Rashi, take a look at on Ayin Dalet Omid Aleph. You see the first Rashi on the page says, I'll leave it to Rabbi Akiva.
Yeah.
So what I want you to do is underline the last, let's say, 10 words in Rashi. Rashi says, this is two lines before the end of the Rashi, with regard to Ochel B'chatzi Shir, V'arei Af Olav, even on a Chatzi Shir, he's going to Reish Lakish, Mushba, he has taken a vow. Why? Mishum Lav D'lo Sosur. This was what Harvey, you were mentioning before, Lo Sosur. Here's the place to mention Lo Sosur. I mean, we'll read it this Shabbos in Parashat Shoftim, if I'm not mistaken. But anyway, here's the Lav Lo Sosur. And Rashi says that with regard to an Issur D'Rabbanan, I violate a Doraisa of Lo Sosur, therefore Mushba V'Yomim Yassim. You could already begin to sense intuitively why this is so problematic. Does that mean that every time I violate an Issur D'Rabbanan, I violate the Lav D'Oraisa Lo Sosur? And the Ramban goes ballistic. He can't tolerate this. How could it be? Okay then? So B'li Neder, you know, I'll give you some more Mar Makomas for Monday if you're interested, and that's what we'll pick up. So take this opportunity to thank everyone for coming. And
So tomorrow
I'm going to give, just for this Thursday, this is just because, you know, it's the start of the month, I'm going to give something on the Parsha, B'li Neder, and maybe Taka will talk about Lo Sosur or something like that. And the question is, if there's any interest in filling in the other days, that's Sunday, or one of the other days, or two of the other days, or three of the other days, that's Sunday, Tuesday, and Thursday, in filling in the gaps for the eighth parak of Yuma, so that we can, by Yom Kippur, we can make a siyum on the eighth parak of Yuma.
Yeah. 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 Yeah